I don't know, introductions to just kind of, it'd be useful for me to know, because there's a few different ways that I'll go on about this stuff. Like, I can do it in the more theoretical way for people who are like, you know, what's going on in the battle over what the meaning of emotion is. Or we can talk more just like about some stuff. Like, I don't know how, or you can interrupt me and argue. So just what would be useful is if you tell me your familiarity, if you've ever heard the term affect, if you have ever done any work with it, what it makes you think of if you've never heard of it, and kind of or something about what you think emotion is, or just kind of what you think about the topic, and then that'll help me sort of figure out how, where, you know, kind of how to do this, if that makes sense. And I guess names again. For mm-hmm. I'll
start. I've never heard of the term.
No.
But I know about the alternative media, and I don't know how to approach an introduction, really. If you want to do it through this lens, I don't know the, ideas. But I can talk about the alternative media in my experience. Should I start doing it?
Could I turn to you for that in a bit when we go on to the alternative media part? That would be wicked. You can talk about it.
Yeah, no, everybody else tells me what they mean by this term, and I should sit here and learn.
Okay.
Well, I'm Ulysses, and I'm familiar with the term because on my PhD I'm working on affect and learning technology, the role that affect can play in the development of language learning.
I don't really know anything about it.
I must have. I've kind of heard about this, but very basic knowledge. I'm interested in just like whatever you've got to say, like theory, and then I think it'd be good to have like an outline first, and then we could do it. Obviously, not cool. Really.
I'm Andy, and I've got no idea what it is.
Yeah, I'm Catherine on the stage.
David, yeah. I haven't heard of it.
Okay.
Wouldn't.
The term effective knowledge I made up, so it's normal to not unless you're inside my head. But affect is, so the way that I'm using it, which is, so basically I'm just kind of introducing, a lot of what I'm going to say is actually just on the sheet, but I just figured I'd just give you guys my notes because then you guys have them. And there's pretty quotes on there. So it's a term that I just kind of, I don't know how, I don't have any kind of, you know, real deep affection for it. But I found it useful in kind of talking about, and this comes out of, I do a lot of work with feminist theory, and so thinking about the relationship between feelings and political consciousness, which is something that I think is under-talked about considering how much of our life is spent feeling, right? And how big of a deal it is. So it's something that I work on when I teach Introduction to Feminist Theory. I talk about effective knowledge as being the kind of knowledge, basically, that I think you could say feminism is always doing. It's a kind of knowledge that's coming from the body, and that's kind of the personal, political stuff, and all of that sort of stuff. So the table that I put here. So I went to this conference called Theorizing Affect, which was like, you know, what happens when you go, has anyone been to a theory conference? Like, they're really crazy times. They just fucking, you know. And so anyway, so at kind of as a game, I guess, with them during our discussion time, I made them distinguish for me the term affect from the term emotion. And I just find this chart kind of funny. So the... What people who are have been theorizing affect kind of, it's got meaning in science, as scientific framework, as kind of, you know, literally like our sensations and the ways that our body feels. It's got meaning in psychology, as being much more linked to kind of emotion. So thinking about, you know, and in psychology they do things like they make emotion maps and they, you know, watch what's going on in your brain and then tell you what feeling you're having. So that's kind of the psychology affect stuff. And then the cultural theorists decided that they wanted to talk about affect, and they decided they really didn't like what the psychologists had to say because, you know, they're all deconstructionalists and post-structuralists, and they don't like anyone telling you what something means. So they, this is my version of the story, too, so I don't, you know, don't believe me. So then the cultural theorists were like, no, dude, like, that's not, we want affect to mean, like, not, what's not emotion, these things that we can't name. So it's not just like we go around and someone's happy. They're feeling all these things. And for people that were in the SOMA workshop, I think this has a lot to do with what Goya was talking about and sort of the ways that our, you know, body is always kind of feeling things. And then we give words to those feelings as this interpretation process, right? So people who are interested in affect are interested in what's pre-interpreted. So before we give the name to say, I'm angry or I'm this. And so, yeah, so that's the table of things they come up with. What I think is interesting is sort of what is less what is the difference and more what is the relationship between these two things and why is it politically useful to think about the feelings that we don't already have names for or how people feel in ways that are not already interpreted, right? So, you know, I assume that you hate the state and want to smash the state, so I make my magazine called Smash the State, and I give you my Smash the State magazine because you also want to smash the state because you're angry, you know, and giving you that. And so kind of thinking beyond that sort of model. So how do we maybe want to challenge that kind of way of communicating in terms of emotion? I don't know if you want to smash the state or not. just interrupt me if you have questions or I'm not making sense or anything. And then... So the kind of big affect gurus, or who I call the two big bad daddies of affect and cultural theory, are Spinoza, who's the bad granddaddy, and I, do you, Spinoza, do you know a little bio? I am terrible at these kinds of things, like year you wrote in or anything like that.
Well, it's more in the, I'm not an expert.
Do you know when? Is it 1600s?
Yeah, kind of. I don't know what it means. It's in the Enlightenment.
Yeah, Enlightenment. Yeah, Enlightenment. Yeah. Early, like an early Enlightenment philosopher, religious guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Who kind of hated God but had to pretend he loved God. Didn't like Descartes. Are your philosophy too? You guys are philosophy too. Do you know any Spinoza?
I didn't read any bits, but I think you know.
So Spinoza says, by affect, I understand the affections of the body, by which the power of acting of the body itself is increased, diminished, helped, or hindered, together with the ideas of these affections. So basically, Spinoza thought that affect was like the thing that makes us do stuff, right? So like, affect is what enables these things to happen.
Yeah. It's slow down and kind of
talk slower.
And like, read things. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll have other people read stuff out. I'm slightly less interested in this stuff. So Spinoza has been now take. This is the kind of theoretical stuff. So Spinoza has been taken up by Deleuze. Are we familiar with Deleuze and Guattari? So like post-structuralist writing in the 70s and 80s, political, doing stuff with kind of common theories and he's a vitalist, considered a vitalist philosopher, so more of a philosopher of life. And affect was taken up as a way of talking in more affirmative terms and about potentialities and possibilities. So taken up by Deleuze and then taken up most recently by Brian Mazumi, who says this really, I'll have someone else read this out, but says this thing that is, you know, you have to read a lot of times to have any sense what he's talking about. But does somebody else want to read that? Is anything? Is it clear enough on the handouts to be able to like read off of it?
Mm-hmm.
I think I don't have any more. You want to read that?
Effects are virtual synthetic.
Synesthetic.
What's that?
Senses together, right?
Synesthesia. 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 is this feeling to movement experience.
Okay, affects are virtual science ethic perspectives anchored in functional limit and in functional limit by the actually existing particular things that embody them. Affect? No. What does it mean?
The dot dot dot?
No, no.
Oh, that thing? Yeah.
Exactly. Can you read everything first and then try
to... I'm going to leave it to Ulysses to tell you what it means.
That's how minds mean, actually. Instead of wanking.
I think that's a common problem with philosophy and literacy. When these things refer to the thing, they refer to some kind of abstract thing which can be anything. You just put the content in it, whatever content you mean. I think even an example.
Yeah, let's read through the rest of the quote, and I think it gets a teeny bit more clear as he goes on.
Sorry, I'm a provocative reader.
Can I?
I'm
also kind of new in this arena of philosophy of art, and one thing that works very well for me is just to keep reading, just worrying much about understanding it immediately as soon as I'm reading it, and keep the flow of the reading.
Okay, so I'm believing. Affect is autonomous to the degree to which it escapes confinement in the particular body whose vitality or potential for interaction it is emotion?
That's probably not supposed to be there. I'll just read the emotion.
Okay. Emotion is the most intense, most contracted expression that capture and of effect. That something has always and again escaped. Something remains unactualized, inseparable from, but unassimilable to any particular, functionally anchored perspective. The problem is that there is no cultural vocabulary specific to effect. Our entire vocabulary has derived from theories of signification that are still valid to structures even across irreconcilable differences. In the absence of an asignifying validity of effect, it is all too easy for received psychological categories to slip back in, undoing the considerable deconstructive work that has been effectively carried out by post-structuralism. Effect is most often used loosely as a synonym for emotion. An emotion is a subjective content. The sociolinguistic fixing of the quality of an experience which is from that point onward defined as personal. Emotion is qualified intensity, the conventional consensual point of insertion of intensity into semantically and semiotically formed progressions, into narrative-visible, action-reaction circuits, into function and meaning.
So basically he's saying a lot of the stuff that's on this little chart, because most of the people at this conference are in love with Brian Mason. So a lot of just what we were talking about before. So that he's kind of distinguishing between affect as something that, you know, exists between people, is relational, and is there all the time, is this thing that's sort of it's what's there that we haven't, it's not signifying, so it doesn't tell us what to think about it. Whereas emotion is this thing that it signifies something. I say I'm happy, I'm sad, and it's gonna mean different things to each of you, but it's gonna mean something, and you're gonna have vocabulary for it. If I say, you know, like you can't really affect, is that there's this idea that you can't talk about affect because if it's not semantic, it's not signifying, then you can't use language to talk about it, which is one of these big things, and then so you get all these people that come to me like, it's impossible to describe. The second you start talking about it, it becomes meaningless. And,
So like, affect is pre-semantic, pre-wording, pre-signifying.
That's Masumi's take on it, yeah. Okay. Is that emotion and this idea of capture, so that we have really all these feelings, right, always going on at once. And then we try and name it, right? We try and say so that we can communicate it. So we try and say, especially, you know, fighting with lovers is probably one of the easiest ways to think about this happens, or friends, or I think in politics too, but really when you're trying to reciprocate, if you're in a good relationship, you know, you're what's going on, and you're like, oh no, I'm not angry, I said that, but it's not really that, and you know, and so like the idea would be that the second that we say, oh, I'm angry, and try in order to try and communicate, all those other things that might actually be happening are getting sort of lost, or they're doing all these other things because we're just capturing that one particular feeling, and then the other person is reading, oh, you're angry again, you know, like, you know, and they're assuming something about the fact that you said, I'm angry, right? Mm. And so then you're limiting the potential of that interaction by kind of using these sort of signifying, these terms that mean to talk about it. So that's kind of his take on it. And I guess what I'm interested in is sort of, I'm definitely interested in this idea of, like, all these things that we feel that we don't have names for and how we misname things and stuff. But theoretically, and I guess in terms of something Sophie pointed out to me on the train, actually was like, you know, since it's a conference on knowledge, like there's a way in which all this stuff on affect is getting canonized that's basically erasing all of this feminist work that's been done over the past 30 years theorizing emotion and feeling. Because when we say, you know, as Misumi does, and I don't think Misumi has bad politics or anything, but when we say there's no cultural theoretical vocabulary specific to affect, basically he's saying there's no precedent work. There's no work which precedes this. So then what happens to all of this feminist work that's been done on feeling and emotion? Just because they're not using the word affect doesn't mean that they don't have really interesting things to tell us about this idea that has been around for a while. So in the interest of time, I'm going to kind of pick out a few other key things to read, but we won't go through all of the things that I've got here. I got a little carried away because they're so beautiful. But so my question, I guess, is what can we learn from feminist theorists and activists about affect and emotion, or what I'm calling affective knowledge? And I'll just kind of summarize some of the quotes. So, James Jasper, who is not very many people who look at emotions in social movements. They're mainly sociologists and anthropologists, and a lot of that work has just started to be done since maybe the mid-90s. And James Jasper is one of the major kind of emotion. He looks at emotion and culture and these other kinds of things in social movements. And so he makes this argument that emotions are something that are always seen as women's work. And that's because there was all this emotional work done about how we feel during the consciousness raising groups that happened in the late 60s and early 70s and a little bit into the 80s in North America and in the UK, which was basically this kind of all work about feeling and how we politicize our feeling and how we talk about and communicate relationships between feelings and politics. And we'll skip that, Adrian Rich. So then, so what I want to do is just sort of look at a few concepts that I really like that are coming from feminist theory that I think, when we go into the practical exercise, hopefully we'll see sort of the links or what I'm kind of on about, and we can have discussion and stuff. So will someone read the thing under Audre Lorde, I guess, the first thing on that page?
Yeah. The white father told us, I think, therefore I am. The black mother within each of us, the poet, whispers in our dreams, I feel, therefore I can be free.
That's Audre Lorde. So I see Audre Lorde as sort of a really important person in the genealogy of sort of feminist talking about feelings. So and very, very politically active. Has anybody heard of Audre Lorde? She's a black feminist from the States, and she is a poet and an author, an essayist, a speechwriter, and was involved in all sorts, from doing anti-nuclear stuff to doing a lot, you know, domestic violence stuff. She wrote a lot of texts that really challenged the women's movement and really brought. She was one of kind of the four grandmothers or whatever of black feminist thought, and sort of was pushing on kind of dominant agendas within white feminism. So, let's see which I've heard of that. We have to read. Maybe the second, the we read the four there, and then the idea again.
For there are no new ideas. There are only new ways of making them felt, of examining what those ideas feel like being lived on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. after brunch, during wild love, making war, giving birth, mourning our dead, while we suffer the old longings, battle the old warnings, and fears of being silent and impotent and alone, while we taste new possibilities and strength.
So she kind of has this, a lot of what she writes about is sort of that she really believes that communication is about eliciting feelings. So it's not that we're trying to come up with a new way to talk or a new way to communicate these new ideas, but that we're trying to find new ways to say them, ways mm-hmm. that are going to make us feel differently from the ways they've already been said. So we kind of need to break out of a sort of regimented ways of speaking to each other. And she mostly writes about poetry, not about alternative media directly, but I think there's some interesting things to think about there, because we write so generically and we read very generically when we are in alternative media as well as in the mainstream press, and sort of how do we open that up, and what kinds of possibilities might there be for thinking about a more poetic way of doing alternative media practices. So this workshop's not like directly on alternative media, so I don't know. And she says some amazing stuff about guilt, and sort of guilt as being this thing that makes us feel unable to move. So she's also really interested in how we can reinterpret and rethink about our feelings in ways that don't constrict our bodies, right? So in ways that don't make us feel bad. So when we take anger or guilt or these kinds of things that are quite common in political organizing and I think also in that, you know, when you're reading all this shit that's going on in the world and you're just like too much, too much, too much, too much, and you become almost frozen in not knowing in what direction to put yourself in. So one of the things that she talks a lot about is sort of how we can get around doing that, or what are ways that we can work through that. So I'll just read there Sarah Ahmed, and maybe we won't read through her quotes. So Sarah Ahmed is a more recent theorist of emotion. So Ahmed's work on emotion does not distinguish between affect and emotion, and she did a keynote presentation at this conference that I was talking about, and she kind of coyly sort of thanked the people for organizing, and then was just sort of like, you know, it's really interesting that I'm invited to this conference on affect, because in her work she explicitly basically says, like, the distinction between affect and emotion are racist feminist history. So she got invited to speak at the conference. It was interesting. And so she works with critical race and black feminist theory.
He's inspired by mm-hmm. more about how the differentiation between affect and emotion lies.
Talk about more about that. Okay, so I think, I mean, this is in my, you know, I don't think it's a conspiracy theory, but like that when we trace, when a term becomes hip, right, and we start using this word, so affect is hip now in cultural theory, we start to create genealogies of where that term came from. And the way that we create those genealogies. So we go back and we look, well, who's been talking about affect? Well, the psychologists. Well, you know, the psychologists interpret everything in their shit. So we don't need to really engage with them, right? And then you go back and you find Spinoza, right? And that's, you know, or it comes out that way as well. But so now when people are doing it, so people are looking at certain things. And in looking for the word affect, well, feminists don't use the word affect because they're not all they're not Spinozists, they're not Deleuzians, all of them, right? So I think that they're talking about all these similar things that aren't just about emotion. They're about all sorts of kind of feelings and how we think about our feelings. And so when we write that, I think they're being actually written out of this form of theorization. I think they have a lot to say about feelings. And I think at this point, there's a lot of I mean, to move that from the theoretical to the practical, I think right now there is a lot of stuff going on. I mean, there has been for ages, but where, you know, groups are working on consensus. We do check-ins, we do check-outs, trying to be very engaged in ideas about how other people feel and how the work is making us feel, you know, with the turn to sort of playful forms of protest and sort of wanting to create different sorts of moods and atmospheres. So I think that on a practical level, some of the stuff that has been going on in terms of feminist thinking about feelings is, or it has the potential to be quite useful maybe for thinking through some of these sorts of things. Does that make sense? You don't have to agree with me. okay, I'm gonna skip through some of this. Okay, so I'll talk about that. Okay, great, fine. Okay, so Gloria Anzaldúa is considered a Chicana feminist, and Chicana is a term used to talk about people who are usually sort of half, like either Mexican but living in the United States, or sometimes half Mexican and half American, United States. They do. There's a lot of really interesting works on concepts of borders and like what it means to be constantly occupying different sorts of cultures and being cross-cultural and moving around and stuff on race and stuff on, you know, much more spiritual and in touch with the body than other kinds of theories. So one of her ideas that I really like is, and I might mess this up with Spanish, but conocimiento. Which is sort of like consciousness, knowledge, but then, you know, sort of not. So let's see what's. Yeah, maybe the just that. Does someone want to read that first one that's there? Well, up under there.
Translate it in Spanish.
So she writes, Chicana feminists generally write in English and Spanish. So it's kind of, it's more in English, but then you, Spanish words or Spanish sentences. And so the experience of reading it is also actually doing what they're talking about. So this idea of living in the borders and multilingualism.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's wicked. There's a bibliography in the back. So. Oh, just read the quote out.
Right.
Just I'm not talking all the time.
Conocimiento comes from open knowledge and consciously inhabiting your body and becoming its symbol. Attention is multi-level and beautiful surroundings. Body sensations and responses, intuitive states, emotional reactions both physical and very feeling, and most important, the image that your imagination creates. Images create connecting all types of information and data.
So I really liked that in terms of thinking, which will come about when we link this to the exercise, like thinking about this last thing she says about images connecting all tiers of information and their data. So sort of how consciousness is also this process where we take facts and we take kind of harder things and we put them together in ways that we give meaning, that make meaning, and that meaning is not just being made in our minds, but being made in the kind of bodily experience that we're having and how we're feeling in that moment of reading statistics, how they're being presented to us, how we're talking about them, makes us feel differently and makes then both our intake of them and our, you know, kind of output of them different, which I'm sure anybody who's done either put together a flyer for something with statistics on it or given a talk like that has had that experience of thinking about how do you present these facts, right? Like these statistics, this data. So I like that idea for thinking about alternative media.